name?
Not Lloyd. Evelyn Hill.
Teal Andrews.
Where were you born, Evelyn?
Walton. Where Cafe Nobly apartment house is now.
I won't ask you when. Were you born at home?
Mm-hmm. At Granny's. That was my grandmother's place there.
Did you have a doctor? Was there a doctor in attendance? Or did
I suppose Doc Vincent was a doctor.
Yeah, was he from Tigers?
He had his office in Walton for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to, well, it would have been next to Hannigan's, only Hannigan's, that was an open field for Hannigan's, and his was the first house, first office.
I see. So your grandmother really was kind of a midwife?
Mm-hmm. Mama had no mother.
When did your mother die?
When Mama was about 11.
What did she ever say about her mother?
Well, she could, you know, she didn't remember too much. But how she was the one that told me how hurt she was about that house, that they planned on having a house where they'd have room and have it cut up like that. Where there's only one tiny bedroom and an open attic and three cut up rooms downstairs that
mm-hmm.
they didn't need at all.
Mm.
And they were very much cut up, about the size of our bathroom.
Really, really. Well, I've heard, I know this is a leading question, but I've heard that Grandma Jerkins was a real hard worker. Did you ever hear that?
I don't know how she could have helped it then.
Mm-hmm. Because she had how many kids?
Was it 10? 11? The first one died, right, in just a couple of days after birth.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose they were. They didn't have much of anything to go on, except what they'd raised and
mm-hmm.
canned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always heard that she was real hard working.
Mm-hmm.
So did you live in Tualatin all your life?
Lived in the logging camps where Daddy would be working. We'd come to Tualatin in the summer when it was too hot to work.
Oh, they didn't do logging in the summer?
No, it was too much danger, fire danger.
I see.
And we'd either come to Granny's or one time we ran to one of the little houses near where the park is now. It belonged to the Smiths or Loons or whatever.
Oh.
One of those three little houses in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we rented them one year, one summer. And we moved back to Tualatin about 10 years old. Yeah.
And then what did your dad do when you moved back?
Worked at the Lake Oswego Golf Links.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. He was a greenskeeper there.
Uh-huh.
So he retired.
Well,
then he, after he left the golf links, he went in the shipyards for a while.
Mm-hmm.
As not a mechanic, ship fitter or something.
Mm-hmm. Most all the men during the war work in the shipyards?
And the women.
A lot of the women did too.
Mm-hmm. I did too. I was working at Nikolai making tent poles for the army. And we heard that you get these fantastic wages at the shipyard. And so when we ran out of work there, I went to the shipyard. The only job available was a welder. But it was the most highest paid job, and I got $1.35 an hour.
You did? That was pretty good wages.
At that time, we were living high.
Yeah.
$1.35.
Because, like, what were wages like? You know, what did you get when you worked at the Nikolai?
When I worked at, well, more than well, I had before I had worked at the cannery, Kenneth and my bulls, he got 33 cents an hour, and I got 27.
And do they differentiate because of the work or the sex?
The sex. Uh-huh.
You did the same kind of work?
No. No men did belt work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Women do the grubby work. Uh-huh. Well, do you remember when the cannery started in Sherwin?
Been there as long as I could remember. Marion was little when we first started working there. She's about 56 now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Born 32, I think. I'm Emery. Hope you aren't taping what I say, I think.
Well, you know, when you were growing up in Tualatin, when you moved back to Tualatin, what kind of work was there for men?
Well, nothing, to tell you the truth. We farmed.
Were there any sawmills?
No, there was no, and the dog food plant came in way, way after that. There was no work.
Do you remember the brickyard in Tualatin?
Yeah, but that wasn't working.
It wasn't working?
No, it was abandoned long before we came back. But I remember looking at it and walking through it to see what it was like.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever tell you much about the brickyard when it was in operation?
No. All I knew about was the sawmill before my grandfather lost his arm.
Well, tell me about the sawmill and tell me about
that. That was on the bank of the Tualatin where the park is. And whatever it was he was doing, one of the big circular saws got granddad's arm and cut it off below the elbow. And he was could have had an artificial arm, but he didn't take it. He had a hook that he put on once in a great while, and used otherwise he used his other hand. Then when the railroad came to Swalton, he donated the ground behind his place for the railroad to go through, so that Oregon Lake Railroad that goes by Paso Noble is on his place. And he was working on the railroad to help them make a little extra money. He got his hand run over, ended up with just a thumb and a finger on the other hand.
Hmm.
And he went through life like that. Had 3 acres of ground, raised his garden, planted black caps, gooseberries, picked them all.
Did he sell the berries? Or
I never had
them?
That many. Used some of them, gave them away to the family.
Mm-hmm.
Took his arm over a lawnmower, keep the lawn mowed.
Is that right?
And he pushed a cart to Old Fallon, where he picked up the mail twice a day from the Southern Pacific train, where the old depot was. Do you remember where that was?
I remember hearing about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was at the end of the railroad trestle there. So twice a day, in this big two-wheel cart, you push it along and get the mail. And that's what they lived on. The kids all helped them, the boys did. $10 a month. And that's the way they live. When the taxes come due, they'd all chip in a little more than their $10.
Mm-hmm.
Pay up the taxes. And the light bills, they got more than a couple of dollars. They had to help on that, but didn't get paid every month.
Tell me about when your grandfather lost his arm at the sawmill. What did the owners of the sawmill do? Did they offer to pay him any wages or what?
He was under the anesthetic. This goes into the family history problem. But I heard my mother say they went to him when he was in the hospital and told him how sorry he was, and he unknowingly signed the papers releasing him of all responsibilities, so he got nothing.
That's the Smith family.
Mm-hmm.
Was this when John L. Smith was still alive?
Probably was.
What, you know, what year grandfather lost?
No, granddad hadn't had an arm as long as I can remember seeing him.
Well, of course, you're not that old.
But that really should not go into a family can know what their ancestors did, but they did do that. And granddad had 12 kids. To take care of.
Charlie Castile had 12 kids?
Mm-hmm. They had 6 boys, 6 girls, and they raised 3 boys and 3 girls. The rest all died younger.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all lived there in that house? Well, I Casa de Robles?
No, they lived different places. Daddy was born up in Washington. I can't think of the name. Dayton? Is there a Dayton, Washington?
I think so.
And they were in Stifle for a while, and I remember him saying they moved into this house, and Daddy was 2 years old. And there's something about an insurance called Austin Insurance. Maybe that's where he got the house. In the back of my mind, I have the idea that the Austin Insurance Company doesn't have that house, which is only a 2-bedroom, a front room, and a lean-to kitchen.
Well, was your grandfather Castile, was he a young man when he lost his arm?
Well, I don't really know how old he was. I've got these records someplace here. When he lost his arms, I'm not too sure.